fly by. We are already at the end of our series, and I personally just really enjoyed it. I want to thank everyone, not only the facilitators, but those of you in the class as well, because that interaction, the information that we share with each other, like it's so great, and it just takes, it's awesome that you're participating, and it's awesome that we have people that take the time to study and be prepared and facilitate, and I just personally thank all of you. I think it was a really great summer. I'm always open for feedback, good or bad, I can take it. If there's something that you want to see different, let me know. I mean, I have to tell you, I feel like we say that and I never hear anything, so we just keep going. So I'm just going to assume no news is good news. But really, truly, if you have something you want to share or something that you would like to see done differently or a topic that you're really passionate about that you think everyone would benefit from, please let me know. I try to start thinking about the following year in the fall. So anytime in the next few months would be really great. Okay, so I'm going to start with reading 1 Corinthians 13 again, and I'm going to read it twice. I'm going to read it in the NIV, and I'm also going to read it with the Message version. And hopefully just take a deep breath, sit back, and listen. Think about our class the whole summer and the different topics that we talked about, and maybe something will hit you in a different light as we read it. Just read it and absorb what is being said. So I'm going to start with the NIV first, and then we'll read the Message after that. If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I was listening to this on the way in, just like repeat, repeat, repeat in my car. And there were things even now like that I caught that I hadn't even caught before. So anyway, that's why I kind of wanted to read both. I really like the way that the Message has this chapter as well, so I thought it was worthy of reading it again. So this is the Message version. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but do not love, I am nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like an infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We shall see it all then. See it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly, just as he knows us. But for now, for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us towards that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the best of these three is love. So what we're going to do today, Jen and I have kind of split it up. We're going to kind of just give a quick synopsis of each class. And then we've got a small like activities that you're all used to by now after the summer, just to kind of tie it all in. So we're just going to kind of, so we've split the classes in half. So in the beginning, right, we talked about the definition of agape. And we learned that it is unconditional. It's not a feeling. It's not based on how we feel. It's a decision. It's intentional. And it's an action. It's an action and it's a choice that we make. I think one of the things as I was reading this again was that, and we'll talk about it a little bit more, is, you know, loving somebody that's lovable, everybody does that. That wasn't the point of 1 Corinthians 13, right? This is when it's hard. When people are not lovable, when things get really difficult and relationships are hard, and he really speaks to that. I also felt like, as I was reading again, is that these scriptures tell us that you can do all these things to the outside world, right? You can give to the poor, you can prophesy, you can be this great person to the outside, but it doesn't mean that you have love and it's getting you nowhere. And the only person that really knows that is you, right? In your heart, because other people can see things from the outside based on your actions, but you know why you're doing it, you know how you're treating people, you know what's in your heart, you know what's in your mind, and so I feel like that's kind of part of the whole point, is that we can really have this outside, they've got it all together, look at all the things they're doing, they're giving to the poor, they're helping the homeless, they're doing all this stuff, but why are they doing it? And that's only between them and God. They know that, right? And they know what's in their heart. We talked about the history of the Corinthian church. They weren't getting along. They were picking favorites. There was outright sin. So we spent time talking about, again, the point of 1 Corinthians 13 and why that was brought in. We also spent time talking about why loving each other is so important and the fact that what this shows is we're supposed to emulate Christ, right? So you can have all the biblical knowledge, you can do all of these things, but if you're not really, by how we treat others is how people see Christ in us. And that's really one of the foundations of that as well. You can blast your knowledge, you can be here every time the doors are open, you can do all the right things. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're loving your brother and loving people around you with the right intentions. Sorry, I need my glasses. Whew. All right. So along with emulating Christ is that we're standing out. We're doing something different, right? That's what the world needs to see in our work, whether we're here at church, out in the world, whatever we're doing. How we treat others, how we love others is what shows Christ to the world. And so I think that's really one of the hearts of taking away what we've got here, is that we really have got to put our own emotions aside, put others first to emulate Christ. Then we talked about, why do we struggle with this? Why is this so difficult? we talked about pride gets in the way, right? We have a feeling of, well, we don't have that problem, right? We have our own problems, but we tend to judge others, which that's going to be Julie's thing. The reason it can be so difficult is that we don't see, wow, I am really struggling this morning. I'm really sorry. So pride gets in the way. Our feelings get in the way. We're frustrated with people. We're angry with people. We don't think that they should be doing what they're doing, or they're doing something they shouldn't be doing, right? And that's where the difficulty gets in the way. We also decide who deserves it or not, right? We kind of put ourselves in that power play of, like, you don't really deserve that love that I should be showing you. We wrapped that section up by talking about the sacrifice that Christ made for us, right? That at the end of the day, that is the bottom line. Christ shed his blood for every single one of us. Every single one of us has sinned. We all have different things going on in our life, and we need to be humble and have humility and be able to see people through that lens, that Christ died for them just as much as he died for me. Then we got into lesson 3. Julie brought in love is kind. We learned that this word is an action, and that this was the only time that the word kind is used as an action word in this particular scripture. Does anybody remember what the word kind meant in this context that we talked about? It's a good one. No, you can't say it. So basically, kind is used as useful, right? We talked about, we used that class as that this word is, are we being useful? And I loved that. Like, I got so much out of that class because I thought, Julie pointed out, we tend to take nice and kind. Like, being nice is the same as being kind, and that's not how it was used in this context. This was, are you useful? Are you useful to your brethren, to your sisters in Christ, to the people around you? Are you benefiting someone else by what you do and how you love them? Okay. Then we went on to lesson 4. Meredith led us in love is patient. We learned with Meredith that this also is an action word. It's not just waiting, right? We're not just waiting for something to happen. What she brought out of that class was patience is dealing with difficult people or situations without giving in to anger or losing hope. And then she also talked about that there were three, we talked about there were three types of patience. She brought out interpersonal patience, so like your relationships with others and being patient with people, life hardships and being patient with maybe tragedy or something hard happening in your life, and then also just daily hassles, just the stuff that really kind of annoy us. So we had a really good conversation about that. We ended that class with how prayer and not trying to control every single scenario in our life, that's very hard to do. Something to work on. Then we went into lesson 5. Julie taught us again on not envying or being boastful. We learned that that envy is not in and of itself a bad or a good thing, right? It's not automatically a bad thing. It can be, and then most of the time it probably is, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. We also learned that this is not just I really wish I had her car, I really wish I had her house or her clothes or whatever that is. It's really a serious desire that takes over your whole self, right? Like, it consumes you. And that we talked about how that starts in your heart, right? And protecting that. Envy destroys churches and relationships. It can completely take over a person's life. We also talked about boasting in that particular class, which was basically, hold on, I had to do two pages on this one. Okay. So I started a section and then I had too many notes, so then I had to go to the next page. I'm like, oh, I have to remember to go back to that page. So we talked about boasting, which is bragging or puffed up, someone who needs a lot of attention. It's focused on self. One of the things that I think was brought up in that class is that we judge ourselves on our intentions, because all of our intentions are good, right? But we judge others on their actions. And that was something that really stood out to me, because it's very true. We give ourselves the benefit of the doubt because we know what's in our mind, but when we see someone else and maybe an action that they have, we immediately judge that and put the negative on them, not giving them the benefit of the doubt, right? Which then gives us a sense of feeling like we're better, right? Because we're not in that person's mind. Okay, I gotta hurry. Okay, lesson six. Ariel taught us about not self-seeking or dishonoring others. So Ariel reminded us that when we study the Bible, to really try to get into the scene, right? What's going on? How are people feeling? Trying to really understand what's happening at that time. And she led us through the story of Joseph. She brought in the angles of how were the brothers feeling? How was Joseph feeling? How was Potiphar's wife feeling? And how that related to us, and how maybe sometimes we can have some of those feelings. At the heart of that class, we talked about that we always have a choice, that temptations and struggles have always been around, and they're not an excuse, right? Joseph kept God first and had God in his heart through all of that. And how do we react when bad things happen to us, right? That was a big part of that class. I think you're from here, right? Okay, Jen's going to take us through the next few classes.
Great. And the worksheet that you got when you came in is what we in the business call a notes tracker. It has each of the topics on there and just space if you wanted to jot down anything as we review right now. I am going to apologize ahead of time. I'm going to read most of this because memorizing things a lot different when it's not your own words. Mm-hmm. And I went back through each of these lessons and listened to them. And I did something that I don't let my students do when we're summarizing, which is to directly quote the people who taught. So if you're the one who taught and you're listening and you're like, Jen didn't say that, that's because you did. And so I'm giving the credit right now for that. And it was really interesting because, and I had shared this last week, that a lot of us felt like we chose a topic that we need to work on ourselves. And I think those of us in the audience felt like that teacher chose one that's really appropriate because what we see is that teacher emulating the things that they taught. Angela taught us that love is not easily angered. And started off with just telling us easily angered and provoked kind of meant flying off the handle, to put it into our own terms. She gave us a couple of examples. Cain and Abel, which was an example of two humans getting angry, and an example of God getting angry in Exodus 4 when he gets angry with Moses, but he provides him a way in his brother Aaron, and helped us to kind of look at man's anger versus God's anger. Man's anger often leads to sin, and with God's anger, there is love and compassion. And then we went on to reflect on the why. Why do we get angry? And it's often because we're hurt. Whatever's happening that angers us in that moment brings up a past hurt and a past wound. Why does this still bother us? Sometimes it was from the previous month. Sometimes it's from years and years ago. Things that broke us in the past. But God wants to heal those things. He wants to heal that brokenness. And so when we allow this to happen, we can slow our own anger and turn it from sin to love and compassion. As a group, we discussed some ways to kind of overcome this, and we talked about getting proper food and rest. Get outside. Seek godly counsel. Prepare ourselves when we know we're going into a situation that might frustrate us. Prepare ourselves ahead of time. Pray. Say something to others. Ask for help. And continuously seek to know what God says to do in that situation. the more you find yourself in his word, the less likely you are to get quickly angry and fly off the handle. The next week was Natasha with Love Keeps No Record of Wrong and Forgiving. So she was talking about how we often have a tendency when we are hurt to pull up a list of past wrongs, right? Someone does something really small to us and all of a sudden everything they've done to us over the last 20 years is going to come out. Why do we keep those record of wrongs and how do we do that? What does it look like and what are the results? That was kind of the discussion that we had as a group. And it's often too easy. It's within our human nature, or at least I know that it is for me. In my defense, when you've hurt me, is I want to go back in and hurt you as well. And that's not at all what Christ did. We looked at the examples of Esau against Jacob and then Herodias against John the Baptist, which we know ended with John the Baptist being beheaded. It's important to forgive so that we too can be forgiven. We're called on to forgive others, to bear with them, and later on we know we talked about how love bears all things. In going back through all of these, it was real. I mean, you really see God's wisdom that he shared with Paul when Paul was writing this, because all of it leads together so well. And listening to all of it in order like that, again, there's a reason for the order in 1 Corinthians. There's a reason that he told him to do it this way. And did he know 2023 years later, a group of women in Johnson Avenue would be studying this through the lens of agape love? Who knows? But it's really cool to see how it all had a purpose. We're called on to forgive others and to bear with them. So if love bears all things, we know that it forgives. Especially, and this was a huge point in this lesson, our goal is to help one another get to heaven, and our goal is for ourselves to get to heaven. And if we're not forgiving, and if we're holding on to that wrong, that's not only going to hurt them, but it hurts us, and it hurts our ability to get to heaven. Why is it hard to forgive and let go? It's often selfishness. Our unwilling to let go of something is often our own selfishness. We need to treat the wound to heal it. So this starts, too, with us forgiving ourselves, which is huge, right? A lot of times it's because there are things we know that when we're baptized and we give our lives over to Christ, we're forgiven. We know that when we go to God in prayer, we're forgiven. But how often do we beat ourselves up over things that we did in the past that we were forgiven for the second that we asked? When I was a kid, I used to make myself sick at night when I would think about bad things that I had done, especially if I hadn't told my parents about it. And we do that as adults, too, right? Not to that level. But God doesn't want us to do that. God gives us forgiveness, and we need to, in turn, give that to others. After this, we had Stacy, and I wasn't here for this lesson, so I listened to the entire thing, and it was excellent. It was really, I really, really appreciated it. Stacy and I are both public school teachers, so there's a lot right now that resonated with me there. So love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Stacy started out telling us, it's really easy for us to say we don't do this long list of really evil things, right? We're not going out and murdering people. We're not stealing. We're not constantly lying. But there's sins of omission, just as big as sins of commission. So what we don't do is equally as important as things we do. So no pleasure in doing what is wrong or supporting what is wrong. And that's where some of us may have begun to feel our shoes get a little tighter. This is so timely and relevant to all that is going on in our world around us because it is everywhere. We are not to be silent about evil. We must speak about it to act against it. We are called, I loved this quote, I wrote it down as we went through, to shape our culture. Or is our culture shaping us? Are we increasing greatly? So it talked about it during a few of the verses about the church increasing greatly. Are we currently doing that? Or are we watching churches slowly die off? We're called to stand out, which can be really, really difficult. And the examples that Stacy gave were those of us who work in the public sector, that can be really hard because we know where we stand on certain things as a Christian and what the Bible tells us about it, but yet we have that separation within our job. But then does that become a crutch and an excuse for us? And then as a group, we began to talk about kind of what does that look like? Because it can be really easy when we take a stand for it to come across very harsh and for it to turn people away. And we're never going to lead people to Christ that way. And so we talked about shun the businesses. Stacy had given several examples of businesses that are not just, when I was a kid, we had in the Christian Chronicle, don't buy from Dockers because they support homosexuality. And my parents would read that. It was like four things at the time. But now these are companies that are openly taking a stand against God's word. And so we talked about how you could shun the business but still care for the people, because that is the important part of it. You don't have to stand for the sin, but you love the sinner. How we act in these situations can have a lifelong effect. The world needs Jesus, and we should be showing his love. Trust in God that we can stand up in love, and it is time now to stand up. After that, Lisa talked to us about hospitality. Love pursues hospitality. We looked a little bit about the roots of the word hospitality, and Lisa started off by telling us that hospitality is different because it requires something from us. And we learned that hospital and hospice both come from this. So it's so much bigger than having others in your home, which for most of us is what we tend to think about with hospitality. It requires us to be selfless. The Bible talks about us pursuing hospitality and seeking it eagerly. So it should not be a chore. It should not be something that we grumble about. Several different people shared memories that they had of other people showing hospitality to them, especially when they were younger, maybe young adults within the church, or living away from home for the first time and things like that. So it has a huge impact on us when somebody opens their home or invites us out to eat or just does something to welcome us. And a lot of us also have memories of that within our own home, but that doesn't necessarily mean it comes easy to us, right? If it's something that we saw our parents do and that we grew up with, it doesn't automatically transfer over to us. Hospitality isn't just having others in our home. And Lisa shared that she had three P's about it. It's people, place, and product. And I found the product part to be really helpful because it's not just come on over to my house for dinner. She gave us some examples. It could be providing meals for people. It's providing a listening ear. It's a gift card. It's a letter or a card to visitors or to people that you haven't seen in a while. It's a quick text message. So it doesn't just have to be come on over and have dinner. After this, we had Hoka, who shared with us, love one another with brotherly affection. And she started off by reminding us that we're talking about sisterly love, because we know that in the Bible, when it refers to some type of a man or mankind brotherly, it's talking about all of us. But what we're studying is specifically this group of women here and how we can share it with one another and in turn share it with others. So she started off by saying things that we often do to others that prevent this from happening, such as judging, gossiping, offering unsolicited counsel, and rushing to fix it. A quote she had that really stuck out with me, are we interceding or are we interfering between them and God? Be outspoken about Christ. Don't just boycott places who don't hold our values, but support those who do. That's a huge deal. If we believe that we vote with our dollar, we want to give it to places that have the same values that we do and that are taking a stand for it. This next one was a huge one for me, and I know it was for several of you because we talked about it afterwards. She asked us, or she said to us, have we ever looked in the mirror and not recognized ourselves because our life has changed us so much? And that really stuck with me. But she reminded us that we're created in God's image, and so even when we don't recognize that person, we need to love that person, because how are we going to show sisterly love to others when we don't love ourselves? And a big thing that she talked about that stops us from this sisterly affection with one another is refusing to get real. She talks about when others ask us how we are and we give the, oh, fine, I'm good. Or the flip side of that is when we ask somebody and they want to share and we're too busy. We didn't want your real answer. It's what you say when you see someone, right? How are you? Something that I've come to value as I've gotten older, and I saw this shift kind of when I turned 30, so just a few months ago, but was having deep friendships with my girlfriends. And that was meaning that I let them in to the things that are really hard. And in return, it also means that we talk to them about the things in their life that are really hard. And in love, we can not call them out, but we can bring attention to things that are happening that might not be right, and things that we see as their sister and as somebody who loves them. When I was in my 20s, I would never have done that. I would have just tried to support. And as I've grown, I've realized that that support doesn't always come from telling somebody what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. And that's really hard. But that is true sisterly love. I mean, I have no problem saying that to my own sister. So why should that be hard for me with all of you? Deep friendships where we can tell each other the hard things. And she gave us some time to look at these things and resolve them. And then last week, I wrapped up the verses with us talking about how love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. And we looked at the difference in words in some of the versions where we talked about always versus in all things. and really talked about how we as Christian women are called to always do those things, and that life is still going to be difficult for us when that happens, but we are striving for the love that never fails, and the love that never fails is Christ's love. And so we do all of the things that we've learned about over the last 12 weeks so that in turn we experience that love that never fails when we get to heaven. All right, that was talking very fast. Okay, you're next.
Looked at it, but you sent it to me, and that was his first one. Okay, so for the next, I don't know, like a few minutes, because we're running out of time as usual, just take a few minutes for self-reflection. Think of like one or two things that for you personally either stuck out, something that you want to work on, something you want to focus on, or just something that just really hit you during this time that we've been studying love. So we'll just give you a couple minutes for that, okay? For the sake of time, does anyone have anything they'd like to share? Julie.
I had always been, on those first few verses, I'd always kind of like looked at that, if I sacrifice my body, and I know I've said it in the past, if I sacrifice my body, I die, and don't have love, it means nothing. Mm-hmm. But when you were reading it today, if I have faith, that can move a mountain. And so I'm always working on, my faith is weak. I need to, like, I'm always more, give me more faith, give me more faith. And I'm always praying for this faith. And yet, you can have a faith that moves mountains and I don't have love. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like an eye-opener for me that that is important, mm-hmm. but again, love is the thing that will remain. And right. I think so many times we work on the faith, and then we go back and forth between faith and works. Right. Okay, now I have faith. Am I doing enough? Right. And, you know, just all that.
Yep.
And I'm going to start praying for more love. Mm-hmm. That's what I get.
Yeah. That's exactly what you, even again this morning as I was listening to it on the way in, I'm like, it's so, like, if you stop and really think about what he's saying, it's so powerful that that is the foundation of everything that we do, is our love for each other and for mankind. Meredith?
Just going back to that chapter, one thing I heard several years ago, and it's something that I have, that I've written on a post-it note, like, right in front of my computer in my office, because I feel like at work is when I struggle with these things a lot. I mean, I probably need to have it like all over, right, everywhere I am, but you get what I'm saying. But to plug in your name where it says love. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's so convicting. You know, I'm with you. I really like the message version of this specific passage because I think it just gives us like a modern day interpretation. But like Meredith never gives up. Meredith cares more for others than for herself. Meredith doesn't want what she doesn't have. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even get past the first one. But I think it's like, it's very convicting mm-hmm. when you put your name in there and, mm-hmm. and you know, like, we're not gonna ever achieve perfection.
Right.
But like Jen said, it's like, one day we're gonna be where it's perfect. Like, all will be made new.
Right.
And so this just convicts me when I put my name in like that to each day try to do better.
Exactly. Yeah, Stacy.
I think what really kind of drove it home for me was I was watching a show, and it was about a man's life. When he was around 12 years old or so, there was a home invasion in his home. And his sister was about a year or so younger than him. His parents were killed. His sister was raped, and both of them were shot as well. And his sister and him survived, and the parents died. So it was a whole story of his life's journey about finding forgiveness because the person that had been convicted for it got life in prison and he was angry for a long time that he didn't get the death penalty. And it was just this journey of finding forgiveness for the person that had done this to them and mm-hmm. finding a way to find that love. Mm-hmm. And that kind of made me very uncomfortable. I thought, I'm not sure I can do that. Mm-hmm. To then take your whole family and almost kill you. Then when in the verses it's talking always.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It never fails. And right. I kind of put myself in that position where, wow, you know, the grumblings of people who annoy me at work and this and that. You know, I can do that. Mm-hmm. I can work on that. But the absolute sort of thing where it talks about in the Bible, the always and the never and failing right. and this and that, like, wow. Right. That's where I'm really gonna have to come toe to toe. I really need to work on this.
Right.
I as I get older, you are slapped with more and more how quick this life is. We don't have much time here. It's like a flash, right? And I have found myself kind of in that situation, just like, do I really want to spend my time being angry and frustrated and like that? I have such a small snippet of time here, right? And that's been my focus. Like, don't let some of this silly stuff, like, get me so worked up. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter anymore, right? Like that, I want my time here to be joyful. And not that we're not going to have hard times. I certainly know that. But the kind of the ridiculous things that we get ourselves all uptight about. Does anybody have anything else? Lisa.
I was going back over and was super helpful, and it was a really good recap.
Mm-hmm.
And just how, in God's wisdom, the words that we were using, like kind or patient, they don't necessarily implicate mean what they do today.
Mm-hmm.
And how in our studies we should really get down and focus on the words and like
right.
the fact that a lot of these were action words.
Yeah.
Like that really hit me.
Yeah.
And then in one of your versions you had read 1 Corinthians when it talked about in verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ones, like, childish things forever, or
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Yeah, I think that was the message.
Is that the word?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I was thinking to myself that our kids are such an excellent example of that. Once they're potty trained, you know, when they're 10, they're not going to revert back to, and we shouldn't be reverting back to our old ways.
Mm-hmm.
We should just keep on growing. So
yeah.
that was
something
that really hit me after
mm-hmm.
reading that again.
Absolutely. Yeah. Continually growing. Ariel.
Mm-hmm. Just in all the versions that different ladies have shared throughout our whole study, in any of these versions, it's never said, do these things as long as it's convenient. And so I think for me, just really putting in my mind that these are priorities, not conveniences. And I feel like that's how I do my hospitalities and things like that. It's like, if I have extra time, what's something I can do for someone instead of like making that part of their priorities?
Right. One of the verses I was going to read earlier was in Luke 6, where he talks about loving our enemies, and he specifically says that, right? Like, the sinners love the lovable. The sinners do that, like, this, the things that we're talking about are the hard things, right? That's what makes us stand out. Like, we're just doing what everybody else does, loving the easy. That's no different. Don't pat yourself on the back for that, right? It's the sacrifice. It's the hard stuff. Do we want to do really quick? We have 5 minutes. We want to
do. Just do it as a whole?
Yeah, we can just keep going. Okay, so we'll just keep. Okay, sorry. Time goes so fast up here. Okay, what else? Meredith.
I think also like something that's been brought up that when we're talking about sharing Christ with others, that it's really, it's not as much about what we say, but what we do. Mm-hmm. And what we do like on a daily basis. Like it's the little, it's really like the little things. Yeah. It's not the huge acts, right? Yeah. So I don't know, that's so important to me, like in my home, wherever I am, you know, but a lot of it is starts in my home.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Your spouse, your children, your family. Right. Go ahead, Julie.
This is gonna be really hard and really honest.
Okay.
I've struggled with depression throughout my life, starting in my teenage years. And I have just you know, with the pandemic and all that, I know a lot of people are struggling. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because I'm finally coming out after a lot of counseling and some medication to because nothing else was getting me out of it. So I'm sharing that so that other people understand that it's okay. We do struggle. But what I can see now that I couldn't even see 6 months ago was I felt like I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to serve anybody. I didn't love anybody. And I thought that was just who I was. Mm. I thought I was just an unloving person. And now that I'm coming out of that depression, I see, no, that was the lie that the depression was telling me. Mm-hmm. And it's so much easier now to feel loving towards others, to want to do for others. So if you're really struggling with this and you've been struggling with it for years and you're blaming yourself, maybe it's something more.
Right.
Because God doesn't, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. Mm-hmm. But if we're struggling with our own mental health, our own issues, and we're not taking care of them, just like Angela was saying in her lesson, take care of yourself.
Yep.
You are not going to be able to love others if you are feeling so unlovable. And if that is a physiological, a real thing for you, a real mental thing, mental health thing for you, get help.
Yep.
Get
and
help.
That's okay.
And if you want to talk to me about it,
yep.
I'm just throwing myself out there.
Y'all, well, thank you for making yourself vulnerable.
I mean, because honestly, I see it so different than I did just a few months ago.
Right.
It's a whole lifting of a very dark cloud.
Right.
And I'm so happy that I have the support of people and friendships that push me
that.
To get help.
Yep. Yep. Go ahead, Mary.
And to your point, Julie, thank you for sharing that. I think if you said, like, show of hands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think sometimes we feel like we're suffering alone. And that's why I think Hoka's class was really great about being real with each other. So thank you, Julie, for that example. But so many of us, I mean, I've been there too.
Yep.
So many of us, I think, can say we felt that way.
Absolutely.
Are feeling that way.
Absolutely. And it starts with being real because now you know, right? Like, so when you're feeling that way, you have someone you can go to, right? Like, and you're right, Meredith. I would imagine we'd have a lot of hands, right, if people were very real about how they feel and that it's okay. Right? And that's across the board. That's not only mental health, but that's your marriage. That's addiction. That's like really hard stuff. Just because we're in church doesn't mean that stuff's not here.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff's here. We're here because it's a hospital. None of us are perfect. Some of us have been through very big, hard, traumatic things. And if we are not sharing that with each other, then we all sit here thinking everyone else has got it together and it's perfect. and we're on our own island, which then puts you into this dark hole because you think you're the only one, right? So, Jolene.
Well, Christ is the great physician, mm-hmm. and I don't think that terminology is used lightly in Scripture.
Right.
And I think it guides us to do things. You know, I've been on my drugs for 27 years. Yeah. So, you know, just give me my drugs. Okay. Because the problem yep. that I have, yep. and it's genetic, it runs in the family, mm-hmm. but everybody hides everything, mm-hmm. you know, from everyone, and we shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But I will say that I'm probably the oldest person in the room, and there is a peace that God gives to you as you age, and an understanding you come to, and I think that's part of His love.
Mm-hmm.
There's an acceptance that is really important, and I think that it's His love for us that helps us do that, because, you know, I go out and get my car, and I go, well, this is my last car. I'm not going to ever buy a car again, because I'm not going to live that long. And so I think we need to be realistic and peaceful about that.
Give Linda the last word.
I just want to say, Stephanie, these lessons have all been great. All the ladies did a wonderful job. And, you know, I think they're all worth listening to again.
Mm-hmm.
And if
yes.
you're struggling, I mean, none of us could probably get all these things going on at the same time.
Right.
If you're struggling in an area or you've yep. had a misunderstanding mm-hmm. or you're struggling, mm-hmm. they're all online yep. on our website. They're yep. on under online sermons and then ladies Bible class. All yep. of them are there.
I think last year's are still
last
there.
Last year's are still there. Yeah. These are going to stay up. But I've tried to kind of list them by verse and... You know, they're there. If you missed a class, go mm-hmm. listen to it because they've been really
yeah,
great.
I did too. I did the same as Jen. I reviewed it. It was great.
And it sounds so cliche, but you really do learn things every time that you didn't
yep.
pick up on the first time.
Yep, 100%. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks for your...